Tsutomu Shimomura, an elfin man with jet-black hair that flows well past his shoulders, was born in Japan 30 years ago to biochemists who shuttled their two children between Japan and the United States. He dropped out of high school at age 14 to work at Princeton's astrophysics department, where he did image processing. He enrolled at Caltech as an undergraduate, where he found as his mentor the physicist Richard Feynman. The two spent hours discussing the deep connection between computation and physics, one of Feynman's favorite topics. Before he could graduate, Los Alamos National Laboratory offered him a postdoctoral position. He was 19. At Los Alamos, he worked on processor architectures and computational models. 5 years ago, Shimomura went to the San Diego Supercomputer Center on a year's sabbatical from Los Alamos and stayed, mostly because San Diego suited him better than the relative isolation of New Mexico. Shimomura is driven and has little tolerance for second-rate minds. He can draw conclusions from things so quickly that if you can't keep up with him, he writes you off, said Gerard Newman, a colleague at the center. When Shimomura first arrived at the center, he was 25 years old and extremely demanding. Staff people were complaining about having to cater to him, recalled Sid Karen, the center's director. But others came to Shimomura's defense and told Karen to keep him on. They said, "This guy may be a pain in the butt, but he's worth it," Karen recalled. By all accounts, Shimomura can be a terrible pest. He just drops by in the middle of the afternoon, interrupting whatever you're doing, and sits down and talks to you for 2 hours, Karen said. It can be a real imposition. I've heard people say, "Tsutomu, what part of no don't you understand?" Among his friends, Shimomura is famous for his obsessions. He has been known to expound for hours on the virtues of the best inline skating wheels and the most effective ski wax. Then there are the computers in his life. He owns about 30, of which half a dozen or so are usually up and running at any one time. He also has a devilish knowledge of cell phones and has been known to eviscerate them just to see how they work. He uses programming commands not listed in the user manual, and dancing on the edges of the law, Shimomura has used his expertise to convert cell phones into powerful scanners capable of listening in on others' conversations. Over the years, Shimomura has developed an interest in computer security and the solving of complex problems the field requires. When the Supercomputer Center had a problem with break-ins a few years ago and called the FBI, Shimomura caught their attention and they began to call on him as a resource. He also has done security consulting for the Air Force and the National Security Agency. Perhaps no one was more surprised at what happened last Christmas Day than Shimomura himself. One of the first things an electronic prowler typically does is delete system logs so that his victim cannot go back and retrace what happened. But the person who broke into Shimomura's computer was unaware that Shimomura had taken extra precaution. A copy of his logs file was mailed off regularly to a safe spot on another computer on the network. Andrew Gross, a UCSD graduate student employed at the center who regularly monitored Shimomura's log files, was at home for the holidays in Tennessee when he decided to take a look at his email on the day after Christmas. When he saw that Shimomura's log files, ordinarily a cumulative record that should only grow larger, were shrinking, he knew they had been tampered with. Gross reached Shimomura's cell phone. Shimomura was in a car on his way from San Francisco to Lake Tahoe for several weeks of skiing. Gross told him what he had seen. "I think we have a problem," he said. Both flew back to San Diego at once. The intruder had used a method called Internet Protocol Address Spoofing. IP spoofing depends heavily on the fact that computers on a given network are often programmed to trust one another. That is, they are instructed not to grant privileged access to an outside computer unless that computer is designated as a trusted machine, not unlike an admonishment not to speak to strangers, only to trusted friends. A spoofing attack exploits a flaw in the networking software that allows a computer to be fooled into thinking that it is communicating with a familiar computer. The Internet works by breaking data into groups of digital packets containing addressing information. The IP spoofing method essentially falsifies the return address information. The intruder apparently logged into a computer at Loyola University in Chicago, a stranger to the target machine. He then had that computer pose as another of Shimomura's personal machines in San Diego, using an electronic address unique to that computer. Once the rogue computer at Loyola had taken on the identity of a trusted machine, it told the target machine to trust every other host on the Internet. This allowed the imposter to enter Shimomura's other computers and have free run of the system. Dozens of Shimomura's files were copied. "We were more than mildly surprised," said Gross. "Between Tsutomu and me, we've covered his machines for pretty much everything imaginable, and then some." Gross and Shimomura both knew about the technique, but had never seen it done. There was even some doubt in the community as to whether IP spoofing, which involves delicate timing, would work at all. "But it turns out," said Gross, "that on days when the Internet is less traveled, it's possible. Christmas Day, perhaps the one day of the year when families manage to convince the resident wirehead to log off, was apparently no random choice." Shimomura, like everyone in computer security, was well aware of Kevin Mitnick's reputation. He knew a warrant was out for Mitnick's arrest. A couple of months earlier, he had gotten word from a friend that someone presumed to be Mitnick had broken into her computer. The attacker was trying to steal some cell phone code that Shimomura had worked on that turned a cellular phone into a scanner. At around the same time, a computer of Shimomura's named Ariel had gotten a few pokes, but they weren't terribly sophisticated. Shimomura had even gotten a letter from Justin Peterson, the person whom the FBI had set to bust Mitnick, offering to help him hunt Kevin down. But the relatively complex nature of the Christmas Day attack made Shimomura doubt that Mitnick could have written a program to carry out the spoof. "Either he found it somewhere, or he got it from somebody," Gross said. Once they figured out the attacker's method, they went out gathering forensic evidence, looking at what the person had stolen in search of clues to his intent. The first thing the trespasser had gone after was the cellular phone code. He also took Shimomura's home directory, which contained his email and several security tools. After Shimomura and Gross had set up some additional protection for the machines, each returned to his respective vacation. At that point, Shimomura viewed the incident as a giant annoyance. "It was something I didn't want to deal with," he said. "I wanted to go do something else." He was eager to put the ordeal behind him. On December 27th, a chilling message was left on Shimomura's voicemail. "My technique is the best," came a male voice in an odd, slightly Cockney accent. "Damn you, I know sendmail technique. Don't you know who I am? Me and my friends will kill you." Then another voice came on. "Hey boss, my kung fu is really good." 3 days later came a second voicemail message. "Your technique will be defeated. Your technique is no good." Shimomura took the messages and put them on the Internet for all to hear. Shimomura might have dropped the matter if it hadn't been for what Bruce Cobol found on his account on the Well, a Bay Area conferencing system that offers access to the Internet. On January 27th, Cobol, a technical consultant and organizer of annual conference called Computers, Freedom, and Privacy, received a notice from the Well that according to an automated program called DiskUse, CFP's account was taking up too much disk space, and he should clear it out. This struck him as odd, because he seldom used that account. When he took a look at the account, he saw that it was indeed bloated, with 158 megabytes of files, and the owner of the files was Tsutomu Shimomura. Cobol called Shimomura, and Shimomura confirmed that those files had been stolen from his computer. The intruders somehow had acquired what are called root privileges on the Well, which means he had the run of the place. He apparently had stashed his booty in the CFP account, because it was used so seldom. The frightening part about his having full access to the Well was that, if he felt like it, he could bring the system to its knees. So far, he hadn't. The intruder was logging onto the Well routinely, apparently comfortable that his wanderings were going undetected. Here was an opportunity to monitor the interloper closely. Shimomura seized it. On January 31st, Gross flew up to San Francisco and set up shop in a back room at Well headquarters in Sausalito. Shimomura joined him a few days later, and the two monitored the intruder's every electronic footprint. They captured each character as the intruder typed it. "It was obvious that this was not your average break-in," Gross said. With most break-ins, someone has a few files they might be interested in, spends most of the time haphazardly joyriding around the system, then leaves. But this intrusion was far more widespread. The well was by no means the only target. The thief had also taken control of computers at Internex and Netcom,
two other Bay Area internet service providers.
When it became clear that the hacker's launchpad for the sessions was Netcom, based in San Jose, the sleuthing team packed up and moved the operation down the peninsula. From Netcom's headquarters, the team saw the intruder name files. Japboy was one favorite file name, while FuckNMC, as in Neil Michael Clift, was usually his password of choice. Cruise through places he already had been, and poke at places he still wanted to get into. One of the Netcom files he had was a customer account record containing 21,600 credit card numbers. He routinely searched through the email of about a dozen people, including the mail of my co-author John Markoff, who was also now following the chase closely. When the monitors saw that the intruder was looking for the text string ITNI, their doubts disappeared. They were dealing with Kevin Mitnick. Occasionally, the trespasser went looking for one of his friends and engaged them in real-time conversations using a private talk feature of the internet.
There were two or three other people he was communicating with, Gross said.